second
Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that you may go, the demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," and that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In a world of brokenness, sinfulness, and tragedy, we look around and we wonder how God could be good and could be powerful if these bad things happen. Why would a good God allow terrible people to kill their own citizens, like in Syria, and cause hundreds of thousands to flee into other countries looking for safety, and yet others to drown while trying? We all look at the pictures of the three-year-old that drown escaping war, and we wonder why. Or the natural disasters that have been happening. We used to call them acts of God. What is that about? Do we believe that God sends the wildfires to the West for a reason? Or people like the Syrophoenician woman in our gospel who want care for their children and are denied because of their ethnicity? We know that Christians in Palestinian territory can be ignored by Jews and Palestinians alike when they need an ambulance. And Jesus seems to play into this terrible injustice in our world at the beginning of our reading. Why is it that some are born deaf and unable to speak? This world is made for those who can hear and speak. And why is a young mother and her children left without a husband and a father by a terrible accident? We think of Kara, Max, Addie, and Reese, and we cannot imagine how God is good in this situation. This is a lovely young family that does not deserve this tragedy. So how is God good? How is God powerful when we see all this bad stuff in the world? We must come back to the beginning when I said that we live in a broken and sinful world. It is a world that is imperfect, and terrible events happen. It is not how God intended. And we don't like that there is suffering, oppression, injustice, destruction from wildfires and weather, and we detest that there is death and sorrow. We live in a world where these terrible things happen, and we worship a God that is good. David expresses this wonderfully in the Psalms. He praises God and calls out for help all at the same time. David extols the name of the Lord and wonders why he's being attacked from all sides. Psalm 44 says, "Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For we sink down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up. Come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love." Here David lays it out to God and asks why, reminding God of God's steadfast love. Psalm 90 begins by expressing how terrifying God's anger is and how the people cannot stand against it. We too talk of God's anger when tragedy occurs. We ask why God wants to punish us and wonder what we have done. David beseeches God to put away that which feels like anger, to put away our despair and our suffering. He begs God for compassion. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants and your glorious power to their children. The favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. David does not hold back. All his emotion, his anger, his despair go into these songs of worship. He does not sit around saying that God is good and accept what happens without question. Our psalm for today expresses the fleeting nature of our world and the foundation of the Creator and God's kingdom. In doing so, he refers to all the brokenness of the world, but only in reference to God's work. In the verses that we didn't sing this morning, we hear more about that. Don't trust rulers, leaders, kings, and presidents to make everything right for you. These rulers will die and return to the dust. Look to God who laid the foundation of the earth. God, our Creator, keeps his promises and will not leave us in despair and death. Although David expresses what God does for groups of people in the positive, it points back to those things, how those things happen here on earth. People are oppressed. People hunger. People are captive, blind, and bowed down. We see these people in our gospel, a woman who is oppressed and a man that is deaf. People are strangers in the world. There are widows and orphans. This we know all too well in our community. Kara is a widow, and her children are without their father, and they will feel like strangers, even in their own house and their own church. Again, David expresses this in what God is doing. God is bringing justice to the oppressed, food to the hungry, freedom to the captive, sight to the blind, and lifts up those who are bowed down. God sustains the orphan and the widow. This is our prayer for the Clark family. When we look at our gospel reading and we hear the exchange between Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman, we don't hear this justice for the oppressed. When she asks for healing for her daughter, Jesus says that his healing is for the house of Israel and not for those outside of this house. Of course, he says it not quite that nicely. He says it's for the children and not for the dogs. And the woman counters that even the dogs get the scraps. Jesus has leftovers to share with those outside of the house of Israel. It may be that Jesus has this conversation to highlight how ridiculous it is for him to deny the kingdom to anyone. Or maybe God has not completely revealed the plan to include everyone in the world in the kingdom. Either way, the woman convinces Jesus and he heals her daughter. No one is excluded, not ethnic outsiders, not young girls, not anyone. In our world, we strive to bring the kingdom of God to everyone, and we fight against injustice and prejudice toward any group. We are sinful and we fall short, but we know that Jesus does not exclude anyone, and neither should we. Right after this, a group brings a man who is deaf and has an impediment in his speech. In Jesus' time, this would make the man completely reliant on his family and friends to take care of him. It may have been seen as a punishment for a sin he committed or that his parents committed. He could be shunned by groups of people or at the very least ignored. Jesus gives him his hearing, his speech, and his community by healing him, the text tells us. Today, this type of healing takes form in many different ways. Some who are deaf get cochlear implants. Others have powerful hearing aids. Some stay deaf, but have sign language and a community with a culture they belong to. And the truth is, we are all in need of Jesus' healing, whether we have an impediment in our speech, or we've lost a loved one, or someone we know is sick. We all must look to God for justice, food, and to be lifted up when we are bowed down. We are very much a part of this broken and sinful world. David reminds us that God keeps his promises. From the moment that sin came into the world, God looks to bring us back into full relationship with God in a whole and healed world. In Jesus, God promises that this whole and healed world is not only possible, it's being manifested even today. Jesus was born on earth, lived among God's creatures, experienced the world in its brokenness. Jesus mourned the death of Lazarus and saw the suffering of people. Jesus himself suffered at the hands of his own people and died on a cross for those very same people and for us, for our suffering and death. Jesus is raised to bring an end to that suffering and to death, giving us life and eternal life. This is coming to pass now and will be fulfilled in the final days. We are called to participate in God's justice, to feed the poor and to take care of the widow and the orphan. We are called to live in community with the least of these. God is good, and bad things happen. God brings justice even as there is still injustice in the world. God brings life even as we mourn the death of a young father, Drew. These are both true. Like David, we do not have to pretend otherwise. We can express our anger and distress, and we can praise the Lord in all things. And God will hear both of those voices. And God will answer our prayer. We may not see it quite yet. We might not understand how it is being answered, but it is being answered. God loves us and wants us to have life and have it abundantly. Amen.